Thank you. You may be seated. If you will, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew in chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We'll do a little bit more, maybe along the lines of a Bible study tonight. And realize it's not Wednesday night, but at least throughout the week, this is what I felt led to at least go in this direction. In the book of Matthew chapter 6, before we begin reading, let's bow to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we approach Your throne to give thanks and just praise Your name, for You are worthy. We thank You, Lord, we'd even have the opportunity, the breath and strength to be able to come back to Your house. We pray that You'd bless us as we gather here. Help us that we might gather in Your name, and we know that You've promised You'd be in our midst. We realize without that, Lord, we don't have much here. We need You in order to see a successful service. And we pray, Lord, that You'd help us. We could just be submissive to Your Holy Spirit. Pray You'd lead us by Your right hand. We ask You, Lord, to touch the hearts of those that are lost and help us that are saved, that we could be strengthened and encouraged in every way. I pray, Lord, again for all those that were mentioned, the different prayer requests. You know each one. You know those even in our own family. Pray You'd have mercy, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and just maybe announce the subject to help you understand a little bit about the direction I'm going. I want to deal with the subject of fasting. Fasting is something that over the years I've tried to teach the subject a few times, and it's a subject that I've been questioned about an awful lot in my ministry, and a lot of people got questions about it and just what does God expect out of us. And it's a subject, I'm going to go ahead and admit up front, I've never heard it taught in all my years that I can remember. I've never heard it taught. Now, I've heard different preachers mention it. I've heard of churches that have come together and had, you know, a time of fasting, but I've never heard it taught on. So I've asked the Lord to help me just to go and into the Scriptures and allow Him to lead me. But it's not based on anything I've learned in the past, but rather something that I feel like is taught in the Scripture. In verse 16 of Matthew chapter 6, it says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Now, before I go any further with this, I want to make some statements about fasting. I've heard it joked about a lot. Somebody mentioned fasting. I've heard people say, "Well, I need to lose a few pounds anyway," or something to that effect. And I've heard others say, "Well, we Baptists, we don't fast. It's evident that we don't." But it is taught in Scripture. It certainly is. If you go back and look at what we've just read, the reason I read these verses, He said, when ye fast. It's not if ye fast. It's not, you know, a certain group of people that you fast, but when ye fast. God, the Lord speaking to His church now, expected them to do it from time to time, that you fast. And of course, I don't believe this, that it's a passing biblical fad of some kind or a passing doctrine. I don't believe it's something that was given under the law to Israel. I've heard people make that statement. Well, you know, that was just a law given to Israel, and Israel was supposed to do this, but it's not us. I don't believe that. And you may say, "Well, preacher, I differ from you." And if you got some Bible to come and say, "This is why I believe what I believe," that's fine. And, you know, I'm definitely not one that can't be corrected, but I believe it would be scriptural to say, when we fast. I believe that's who He's talking to, not just a certain group of people, but to His church, that when we fast, that we're to do it a certain way. Now, there's two types of fasting, I believe, that's mentioned throughout the Scripture. One is personal fasting, or private fasting. And there's also a fasting that's taught in the Scriptures of unity with other Christians, that you come together as a body to fast. Let's deal with personal, first of all. Here he says it's not to be in a boastful, bragging type way. Apparently the Pharisees had trouble with this, that they fasted and they wanted other men to know that they were fasting. He said they would even disfigure their face. And I picture them maybe taking some dirt and rubbing it on their face and just so they could look like that they've had a rough time and that they've really been intensely praying. But he said, whenever you do it, my disciples, my church, whenever you do it, when you get through, you clean yourself up. And you don't go out and appear to men to fast. It's something between me and you. It's something between you and God, rather, that it's not for show. Don't appear unto men to fast as though, you know, that you went through some hard ordeal. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Before I go any further, let me say this. I haven't come tonight in trying to push something on you as a church that I feel like you need to do. I didn't come here tonight, you know, in a personal way or, you know, as a church, I'm not trying to push anything on you. I'll say this about it. It's something that's good if it's willingly. It's something good if it's willingly, but certainly it's not something that I come here and I'm trying to require you to do. And I've never done that. I've never tried to push a church into doing something like this. But I do want you to understand that it is taught in the Scripture. And you know, let the Lord speak to your heart as He will. But in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it said, "Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency." Here, this is well on into the church, has been established. He's speaking to the Corinthian church. There was maybe a little bit of an issue had come up, and he just speaks very bluntly, frankly, to them. I've used these verses from time to time in marriage counseling. Definitely, there's no doubt some teaching here that would be between a husband and a wife. But there's also the teaching of fasting and prayer here. There's a time when even a husband and a wife are to come to some mutual consent, that you agree together that I'm going to fast for a little while, for a time, whatever time is set. And, you know, that, again, it's to be mutual. But even you're to separate from your spouse for a time. Now, let's deal with that before we go any further. How long is a person supposed to fast? Throughout the Scripture, you find that those maybe that one day, is those that have fasted 3 days. I think it was Daniel that fasted about 21 days. And then there was Jesus and one other, wasn't it? One other that fasted 40 days, 40 nights. So how long? I'm going to say this. As long as you have purposed in your heart. Again, I believe this, just like we do free will offering, I believe this is something that is to be willingly. It's not something to be pushed on you. It's not something that, you know, you just decide, well, that's the right thing to do. But as the Lord leads, we do it as long as we're willing to purpose in our heart. I also believe this, once you've purposed in your heart, there's no backtracking on it. You don't say, well, you know, this is a bad idea. I don't think I'm going to go through with it. Bible says, don't ever say anything. Once you've said it, you need to go forward with it. Over in Ecclesiastes, I believe about chapter 4, he says that you don't make a vow before God and break it. Once you've made the vow, you pay that vow. So whenever we purpose in our heart, we're to go through with it. And certainly it can get intense. I mean, it can get to a point where that's when the devil likes to mess with us. He likes to begin to come in and try to poke us around a little bit. But as long as you purposed in your heart, and let me say, it needs to be long enough to be considered a fast. Or somebody said, well, I fasted 3 hours. Well, you hadn't fasted. You just waiting on supper time. I've heard others say, well, you know, I fasted for a few hours, 6 hours, or whatever. Webster's definition of fasting is at least 24 hours. That's the dictionary definition. It needs to be at least one full day to be considered a fast. So, what's the purpose of fasting? I believe, number one, is to show temperance. You know, Second Peter chapter 1, he teaches there, you add to your faith. Once you get saved, there's some things the Lord wants you to add. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. Temperance, patience, and then godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. But to add temperance, that's something the Lord requires out of us, is to add temperance. Well, what is temperance? It's being able to tell myself no and mean it. Or yes, in other cases. Be able to deny myself. Paul said, I've learned to keep my body under subjection, lest at any time I'd be considered a castaway. I've learned to control my impulses. I've learned to control my body so that I won't be a hindrance to anybody. That's where he said, I've learned to be hungry. I've learned to suffer want and need and all of this. I've learned to do that. Why? So that I can be a blessing to people. So under no circumstance will I break and turn from the Lord. Now fasting is to show temperance, self-denial. That's what that means. To deny self. It also shows a relationship between me and the Lord that I can even put God, or let me rephrase that, that the Lord comes first, even before my necessary food. You remember Job made that statement when he had the false accusers or the miserable comforters that came and began to tell him how he'd sinned. He said, I'm going to tell you something. I have put God before my necessary food. I put Him first. You know, it does us good from time to time to see that in ourselves. God already knows what you're going to do. But to see that I am willing to put God, number one, ahead of my family, ahead of dinner time, ahead of everything. I'm willing to put Him first. Jesus made a statement. After He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He hungered. You can imagine what that must have been like. Been very easy to say, well, my fast is over. I'm going to find something as soon as possible. The devil knew that. That's why he took that opportunity to try to cause Him to fall. He said, you know, why don't you command these stones to be made bread? He could have done that. Bill, he could have made them stones bread if he'd wanted to. He turned, you know, took a few loaves and fishes and fed a multitude of people. He could have done it. But he didn't. Remember what he said? Man shall not live by bread alone. That's a lesson we need to learn from time to time. We need to be able to see that in ourselves. Do you remember the apostles came to Jesus one day? Actually, a man, I believe it had some devils that came there. And Jesus, he came to Jesus and Jesus healed him. After that he was healed, the apostles came to him and said, now why couldn't we do that? Why? We've had the ability to cast out devils so far. We've had the abilities to lay hands on people and heal them so far. Why is it that we couldn't help this man? And Jesus said something that ought to cause every one of us to stop and consider. He said, this type only goes out by fasting and prayer. It took a little something extra to handle what they were trying to handle. Now, I'm not insinuating, you know, laying on hands and healing people and all that. That was done away with. That served its purpose for a time. And when the completion of the Word of God, we got the complete Word. There's no need for them sign gifts. I'm not saying anything about that. But it was the fact that there's certain things in life that take a little extra. This type only goes out by fasting and prayer. You don't just jump up and lay hands and heal this one. It takes a little something extra with this. So keep that in mind when you're thinking about fasting and prayer as well. You know, there's times in our lives, there's situations in our lives, and these situations are between you and the Lord, where we are to recognize, I believe the Holy Spirit will help us to recognize these situations as needing 100% devotion before everything. I need to go to the Lord with this and pour out my heart. And I think it does us good to purpose in our heart some time that's uninterrupted with the Lord. Now, I told you there's two different types. There's that personal, and then there's congregational fasting. And that's something I don't know I've ever heard anybody deal with, but Psalms 35, look over Psalms 35 if you will. Excuse me. In verse 13, in this psalm, David is talking about some friends that have basically backstabbed him, have turned their back on him, and once maybe they were close, but now they've got the upper hand on David, and they hadn't been the friend that David had been. But in verse 13 it says, "But as for me, when they were sick," so David has been dealing with some problems in his life, and he's talked about the different ways that they've handled it. He said, "But when they were sick, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother." So David's saying here that I fasted for, or possibly even with, these friends that have now turned around and they become my enemies. But I read this because David is referring, this was kind of an intercessory type, that it was more than one person going on here. And he mentioned sackcloth. Anytime we think about the word fasting, or at least me, when I think about fasting, I think about in the Old Testament, people putting on sackcloth and ashes. And I had asked myself, well, is that part of it? Is that something we still deal with today? And I went back and began to consider some things. Hard to come up with a conclusion on that, be honest. Sackcloth and ashes and fasting put together, that existed before the law was ever written. But you never find it in the New Testament. Not one time was it given to the church as something the Lord expected us to do. And so I come to this, and you may say, well, I think different. That's fine too. You may be able to help me out with it. But I find Jesus bore our sorrows. He bore our griefs. You never find where He asked the church in any way to use sackcloth and ashes, but it was definitely something that Israel did, and even before the law was given. But let me just get down to the church. If you look over in the book of Acts, I'm not going to ask you to turn there. I realize I'm kind of carrying this on out, but if you look in Acts chapter 13, a few weeks ago I preached from that passage of Scripture. And the church had come to a place to be so persecuted that they didn't know what to do and how to carry out the Lord's will. And so they wanted to get close to the Lord and know the Lord's will. And in doing that, the Bible says, after they had prayed and fasted, the Lord said unto them. they sent Paul and Barnabas out, and they fasted and prayed, and they laid hands upon them and sent them out. Throughout the Scripture, you'll find the church gathered together in one accord, and they fasted and prayed for Simon Peter. He might be released. They fasted and prayed in unity to know the will of God concerning what to do with Paul and Barnabas was the end result of all that. So I just throw this out, and I'll try to come to a close with this. But what should we as a church pray for and fast for today? What should we purpose in our heart to fast about? It's definitely not something to be taken lightly. It's definitely not something that we just decide, well, let's just get together and let's do it. It's something that as a whole, I think you're to purpose your heart to do together. And what should we fast for? I believe anything that is agreed on as being a unified burden, we should consider it. The country, the state that our country's in, I think it'd be a good deal. Sometimes you get burdened about the lost as a church. I think it'd be good to come together and fast and pray for them. Pastor call. You know, I've heard a lot of churches that they just call somebody. Whenever they get through, if he don't come, they call them. They just go down through their list of different people. They write, mark off their list. Okay, we didn't get the best one. Let's get the one under him. We didn't get him. Let's write him off. Let's get the next one. And just go down there, call 9, 10, 12 times. Just keep calling until they finally get somebody. I think that could be further from the Scripture. I really do. I realize these times you call and a preacher says, I don't feel led to come. That happens. And certainly it's happened over the years. But just to call, just to see if you can get the best one, I think that could be, it couldn't be further from the Scripture. I think a church ought to pray together and come together even in fasting if the church sees fit to do that now and burdened to do that. Certainly it would be a good thing to show that we're concerned about this. You know, we don't get concerned like people once did. You look at the early church, whenever they had a burden, they got concerned about it. They got bothered about it. They trusted the Lord with it, and they went to the Lord until they got the answer. And I think some of them old, you might say, well, that's old, you know, water under the bridge. The Lord said, we're not to forsake the old paths. It's them old paths that still do good today. But revival, people sick, I think it's a good thing. But you say, well, preacher, all that, we don't have to come together as a church. That can be done personally. It certainly can. At any time, you know, personal prayer and fasting and all that, that's a good thing. But you remember this, we are one body. The church is one body. It's not, you know, you and me and ours and theirs. The church is one body. Come together with the Lord as the head. The church is to be in unity together. We're taught as a church, you esteem each other better than you esteem yourself. We're taught as a church to bear one another's burdens. You know, used to you see a lot of people walk down the aisle and ask the church to pray for them. You don't see it very much anymore. I wonder why. I'm going to tell you some of the excuses I've heard over the years is, well, what's somebody going to think about me? What's somebody going to think? They're going to think I'm having trouble. They're going to think I'm having problems. You can blame it on pride. Another thing, I think we've kind of created this environment for ourselves that, well, I'm scared somebody's going to go out and gossip. I'm scared somebody's going to talk about what's going on. The church ought to be a place like none other. This ought to be a place where you feel like you're at refuge. That we can come together, and if I've messed up, I ought not be ashamed for you to know that. We're to repent. We're all human. How many of us are perfect? If you're perfect, raise your hand. We're not, are we? You can't raise your hand for that. We are not perfect. But we feel like we're supposed to be. And when we come to church, we feel like I'm not supposed to have problems. It's everybody else supposed to have problems. The same way with sharing our burdens with one another. I don't want to do that. Somebody may think something about me. This ought to be, the church ought to be closer than family to us. We come together, we ought not be ashamed. We ought to realize one thing. The Lord is the head of this body. And we are all members together. Bone of His bone. Flesh of His flesh. That's Scripture. We are bone of His bone. Flesh of His flesh. We ought to lift up one another's burden. Bear one another's burdens. Love covers a multitude of sins. We can go on and on with that. But just remember this. It's good to come together in one accord, whatever the purpose may be, and pray and even fast together. I ask for a song.